I said to my wife, nobody's going to expect me to be live tonight. And that's pretty obvious as I look around at the voices of faith compared to last night. I said, no, we reached the goal last night, and nobody thinks I'm going to be live tonight. But I am. And everybody that was here at 11 o'clock should have been here now. Like the one leper of the 10 who returned to thank God. Thank the Lord for what he did. And I said, if I can stand up, I'll be there tonight to simply rejoice and thank the Lord for last night's victory. But since I'm here, we're about 80 reservations short of the quota for Sunday. And I'm encouraged. I actually received from the person in charge of the ushers for this week, I actually received what I asked for Sunday, a list of who is scheduled to be there. And I learned a lot. I mean, I hope that the person who delivered it is listening, because he made a serious mistake of thinking he could give it to one of the staff members here, and that the staff members would give it to Mrs. Scott. She had to come in, because I raised the issue on festival, and it had already been delivered. And she had to come in and initiate a demand for certain phone calls to be made, because we hadn't received the usher and security assignments for Sunday, for one of the staff members to sheepishly say, I got it yesterday. Everybody better understand that all that I've been telling you for the last 5 years is not just drama queen stuff. And I don't care who comes here. The demon forces are such, if they don't come with their shield up and the armor on, the same tactics of cement, not delivering messages, and punching a button and interrupting me while I'm talking will be present. If you're supposed to deliver something to me or to Mrs. Scott, or in essence, deliver something that I or Mrs. Scott are supposed to see, you have to call back to the people you gave it to and stay on their ass until they tell you, we got it. So, the one that's in charge of the ushers this week, I commend him for doing a nice job. But then chastise him for being gullible enough to think that he can give it to somebody and tell them to make sure we get it and that they will do it. You remember what I said Sunday? Crap travels down.
Yes, sir.
They will not deliver things. They will not report without pressure on them. But then I learned, having covered that, I learned something else. In order for ushers and security people to sit in the service one Sunday a month, we need 35 volunteers. 28 are necessary. See, along, I've been trying to take control of the events at the cathedral, and now approaching my 30th anniversary and 16th or 17th year in the cathedral, only tonight did I find out how many posts have to be filled. 35 because 28 will be on duty, and 35 enables 7 to rotate and sit at least once a month in the cathedral, which is the goal. Then I find, on an average, 10 to 15 are not scheduled. They either cop out, cancel out, don't show. And then the average is 10 to 15 every Sunday that whomever's in charge of the ushers, without reporting this to me, presumptuously gets the job done and grabs voices of faith, others that have been ushers, known individuals who are always there, who are willing, when tapped on the shoulder, to fill in the gap. Disgusting to the point of vomit. And that's why a little incestuous circle just keeps revolving. That's why I said last Sunday, my own key off-duty cops that can only be assigned with my permission get grabbed to fill the gaps. Because 35 people in this congregation cannot make a permanent commitment to be ushers and security and get a free tape of the service, abundant opportunity to watch it, and once a month sitting in the congregation. Criminal, we don't have 70 volunteers, so they can roll over. Now, where do you get the idea that, well, I'm volunteering 12 hours a week? Have you forgotten? A tithe of your time is 16.8 hours. And 4.8 hours added to the 12 was deliberately excluded from the 12 to cover your commitment to be at the cathedral on Sunday. I'm not willing to pastor this church any longer. Well, are you leaving? No, I'm going to eliminate the church. I've said over and over, I'm preaching to the world. You just are there as an inspiration. But when I decide that I'm not putting up with people who are deliberately flipping me off, and I'm not putting up with people who are deliberately and flagrantly flipping God and His Word off, I can preach with just empty seats in front of me if I know that's the deal. I will throw you out of that cathedral. Or you will start lining up and saying, I am willing to be an usher or security on Sunday morning, and I will make a commitment I will keep. This is intolerable. Who do you think you are? By the way, you don't pay me. We wouldn't have the cathedral if I had not sold things to make up the difference that you made no contribution to my having. I'm tired of treating you like a bunch of rich, pampered kids with a rich father. You don't own me. I want to read some messages from Dallas. More from Dallas than I get any hour out of Los Angeles. And the hour in Dallas costs less than any hour, any time in Los Angeles. No breaks for music during the hour, just straight. Opening song, teaching, closing song. 26 new callers. can't believe what they're hearing. I'll read some of them tonight. You're not going to do this to me.
Well, you had 300. Look, I didn't have 300 from Los Angeles. Wasn't 300 people from Los Angeles that gave the 300,000 to come in by Sunday? The jump that took us from 55 to go to 11 to go was not Los Angeles. You will not keep on abusing me. You better start figuring out. Well, give me 100 people. Give me 100 people or 120 people willing to be ushers and security on Sunday morning. We only need 28 on any given Sunday. That's a commitment if I have 120 of once a month. That's why I get angry, no matter how well-intentioned those in this congregation that have been getting the job done and leaving me out of the loop. From the sorters over there to the ushers and security on Sunday morning at the cathedral. Well-intentioned people. Oh, we'll take care of the buses until some calamity comes, and it's been the same person doing it, and I don't even know what the bus route is. Well-intentioned people requisitioning people who've come to church that are willing, the handful of the faithful that are the ones that are always here as voices of faith. And just stalemating progress by making do and plugging in the holes. Never even telling me you got the hole. I won't tolerate it. When I know, I act instantly. Well, he must know because it's happening. We're a worldwide ministry. I haven't told you as part of Secret 16. We're about to bring it to a close this month. But the battle of a year ago May, I told you, a year ago May there was an attempt to seize and take one of our stations from us. You remember that? Over $500,000 in legal fees. And we're about to be victorious. Over $500,000 in legal fees. The only pleasure I get is how much the other side had to spend too. One party in bankruptcy. I told you when I fight a bully, be prepared to die, because probably he isn't. I've not made it public because I'm tired of giving free publicity to people that don't deserve it. I have things to do other than just show up on Sunday morning and pray the Lord to fill my mouth. Yes, well-intentioned people, but this battle-scarred veteran in churches for a lifetime knows that a lot of people go to a church where they can find some outlet that they're in charge of. I know the difference between those that just love preeminence and want to work for God their way. Just give me the job and get out of the way and let me do it. I've told you, we even got a saying here of a staff member once that I came in Mercy to try to shorten a job when they were laying a floor in the kitchen and not wanting them to work all night and with enough wisdom to be able to come in as the only one that had the right and the authority to change the job and take a less than what was planned. And watch the guy in charge roll his eyes to familiarity that had bred contempt. And I read minds in that case. If Doc could just get out of here, we'd finish this kitchen. I know the difference between people who are working for the Lord and those who use the work for the Lord as an excuse to inflate their own ego. There are no independent kingdoms in this church. You can't sit in front of the camera and do what I do. But how many of you remember over the years me sitting here and lamenting when we had a Voice of Faith coordinator more interested in playing Little Miss Charmy to all of you? You know, someone to be a nice cushion between mean old pastor who... Oh, how wonderful of you to come as a Voice of Faith. What are you talking about, you asshole? You made a commitment, you're not keeping it. I don't need people being nice at my expense. If you do your job, I could have a chance to be nice. But I got a bunch of hireling man-pleasers that want to make friends on my dollar and undercut the standards of commitment that I live for. The two or three ways to motivate people. One of them is to appeal to your own selfish motives, and the other one is the Jesus method. You come here to die. You're not popular, but you ain't going in any other way. So get the job done while you go to hell. That's what some of these so-called assistants try to do. Now, I will have some people lining up and saying, not part of my 12 hours, but part of my commitment for Sunday, the 16.8, I will be available as an usher. Just call me. Or I will shut the doors of the cathedral and enjoy a few years with my wife and teaching without the pain of trying to make somebody act like they believe that this is the most important ministry that they can involve their life in. I will not cheapen this ministry for any half-dedicated jerk in this congregation. I suggest tonight some people better be getting on the phone in Los Angeles and saying, I'm sorry I've set my rear end down and just taken in and I'm not willing to participate. I'll be an usher. Call me. I want these reservations up. So get on the telephone. Now you may say, well, I didn't expect you to be live tonight. And if you were, I expect you to be happier than you are because of the victory last night. Well, if you're happy that this congregation were having difficulty getting 35 people committed and keeping their commitment to usher, that's a disgrace. 35. Give me four times that amount. Then you only have to do it once a month. I want people calling and saying, I'm available to be an usher. Tired of the same people being grafted every Sunday. Now, these phones were pretty busy last night. They better start getting busy tonight. I want a congregation that gets happy at what I get happy about. People keeping their commitment. People following the pattern of Jesus who kept the faith. I'm tired of having to yell at you like a bunch of delinquents. Well, I made my pledge last night. Well, okay, now make your commitment tonight to be an usher. Get on the telephone. I want tonight to be a happy time and a victory time, and we're going to get to that. But you're seeing, I act when I know something. Tonight's the first time I know that we're struggling to have 35 people keep a commitment as ushers. This boggles my mind. What kind of sick state of your commitment that you don't consider it an honor to be seen as an usher on Sunday morning in the cathedral? An honor to be part of the security at the cathedral during the service time? Well, what's involved? You show up at 9:30 for the usher's meeting. But you make the commitment, and we'll schedule you, and you'll know which Sunday you're to be there, and you better be there unless you're sick. Now, I'm talking to those that have been ushers. I'm talking to those that are committed for this Sunday. I'm talking to those that have been faithfully doing the job. You're not to blame. Whoever was in charge didn't keep me posted. I want everyone that's been an usher, is an usher, and going to be an usher calling. And I ain't stopping until I have 70 people committed to be ushers. Then 35 of you are going to show up Sunday at 9:30. And 7 of you will be told to sit in the service. That clear?
Yes, sir.
Well, then start doing it. Well, he couldn't mean me. I mean, you know, I sit with my wife and I enjoy the service. Yeah, well, one Sunday a month you're going to work at least. You give me 70 commitments, that means twice a month you'll work. I won't stop there. I'm going to have 140 committed to be ushers until you only have to work 1 week out of the month. There are no exceptions. I know some of you people let these 12-year-olds come to church when they're 12. Most of those 12-year-olds got more sense than some of you people. They can be trained to stand by an exhibit, to show somebody the way to the restroom. When I realize the priceless manuscripts we have without enough ushers to stand and make sure that they are safely protected on Sunday from some nut that will come in, I cannot believe you don't understand the honor of being an usher at that cathedral. It has nothing to do with your 12-hour commitment. It's part of your 16.8 hours. Tithe a week. Now, I want every person that's ever thought about being an usher calling in and recommitting yourself with a phone number where you can be reached. When this month ends, this business of having to assemble the ushers after the service starts is going to be over. Get on the telephone. I'm still in shock that this congregation, people do not see it as an honor to be in the parking lot to protect your pastor as I drive in case somebody's chasing or attempting harm to me. You don't see it as an honor to be one of those assigned to provide some kind of shield of protection. It's going to change. You better get on the phone. There are no exceptions. If you attend as a regular at the cathedral, you should make yourself available as an usher. Give me 150. Then about once every 6 weeks you'll be serving. What's the matter with you? Get on the phone. You know, once in a while people define commitment. There's Wagner, Oklahoma. I'm not watching right now. I'm in the hospital in an intensive care unit. And though I'm away from a television, this is the night I've committed to call, so here I am. We made it, and I'll call back. You want me to read that to you again? Wagner, Oklahoma. I'm not watching right now. I'm in the hospital. In an intensive care unit. And though I'm away from a television, this is the night I've committed to call, so here I am. We made it. And I'll call back. God, give me a band like this. And I'm having to urge people to be willing to be an usher. And I'll have 35 that show up Sunday morning at 9:30. But I'm not stopping with 35. And this hour better play two or three times a day around the clock until I get 140 people committed to be ushers when we call upon you, not drafting you after you get to church on Sunday morning. You need to be in the ushers meeting at 9:30 in case there's any special message that has to be delivered to you. Now get on telephone. Give me some music that's got some life in it. I'll do it. Now, to show you how you got your brain parked somewhere, there is not a voice of faith here tonight that's a volunteer that should not have immediately filled out a slip, "I'm available as an usher." That shows you how you depart your senses sometimes. I don't expect the paid staff people to volunteer. Well, I'll tell them what to do. I don't expect those in the band to volunteer as ushers. They've made a commitment. They don't even count that in their 12 hours. But every one of you people. Is there no end to this? No. Your life belongs to God. But, you know, while you're sitting there trying to find escape routes, I've made it very clear. I teach tithing as a limit on your giving. If you've got the Holy Spirit in you, you're going to go crazy like the New Testament church without being taught. God doesn't want all your money. He wants what's His, and He wants sacrificial offerings. And He gives you a gift pastor who knows about how many times to come to you with something special. It's my job to provide faith opportunity for sacrificial offerings above your tithe. You have come in new ones at a time when it wasn't necessary, as it was when I came here to save this church, that everybody had to sacrifice to the point of breaking every week. You're given faith opportunities. The tithe is the Lord's. You haven't given anything when you tithe. And the tithe of your time is 16.8 hours. 12 of it. Offering yourself to the pastor for whatever we ask you to do. Each week, I set aside 4.8 hours for your time on Sunday. God return us to early America and the Blue Laws, where Sunday they did nothing. Talk about a tithe every seventh day. They couldn't even cook food. Well, that's the law. Oh, the New Testament that requires 100% of you is a lower standard than the law? Now get off of it. The 4.8 hours is to let you put God first once a week and participate in the honor of being the inspirational springboard from which this message goes to the world, discounting your need of it yourself. I don't want just 28 ushers. They never get to sit in the service and they backslide. Out of the hundreds that come to the cathedral. You think I'm going to turn a 12-year-old independently loose as security or an usher? But what an honor to have, I'm a junior usher, standing alongside an adult usher while he learns respect for God's house. You ever seen those security people at Buckingham Palace when tourists try to get them to smile or look at them? What better training for a 12-year-old than standing with a dedicated adult usher and learning how to dress up when he comes to church and look like he's in business as a junior usher, being nice to point the way to a restroom or standing in the parking lot to help direct the people across to the bus and stop them when I'm driving in because there may be somebody behind me and I got to race into the parking lot. Get your head out of whatever hole it's in. I should have had every voice of faith here tonight that's a volunteer should have led the pack as an usher. And every single one of you in Los Angeles that's a member of this congregation should have quickly jumped at the honor. Oh, I'm timid. Well, learn not to be. Jesus hung naked on a cross for you. Now get on the telephone. Teenagers, you specify you're a teenager and you want to be a junior usher. Because that's what you'll be as a junior usher. You parents better get them a coat and a tie. It's where they start learning to respect God's house. Show up looking like they're in business. Don't want any of you women showing up in halters. Show your boobs off somewhere else. Did you say what I think you said? Exactly what I said.
Yes, sir.
I've probably seen more than any man alive. But right now, I'm on a crusade to bring dignity to the cathedral.
Yes, sir.
You act like it.
Yes, sir.
And teenagers, you're going to be junior ushers. One impression to see smiling, ramrod straight, like little Marines at attention with an adult, usher and junior usher. I don't understand anybody that doesn't see this as an honor. You represent me. You represent God. You're the point of contact with the new ones that come to this cathedral. I got 27. One more and I'll have the first 28, and I want 4 28s. But tonight I want 70. Then maybe we can just have a good time, rejoice a little while tonight, and go to the table of the Lord. But right now, I don't understand why you don't have joy in your heart that I expect more from you than you expect from yourself. You think I don't know how to manipulate? I can charm a snake if I set my mind to it. I give you the dignity of honesty and expectancy that you're taking the pattern of the faith of Christ.
Somebody down in Orange County said that Bob Shuler had come in and said he really respected Dr. Jane Scott, but they're sometimes on opposite sides of the playing field. Boy, he couldn't be more right. You want to be stroked? Go let old Floaty do it. I'm going to do what Paul did. Tell you to quit you like men. Now get on the phone. I'm really impressed tonight that we're having difficulty keeping all the voices of faith busy. Where's the people that were last night in on the victory? Get on the telephone. Do you realize the ushers getting there at 9:30, praying together, putting on their armor? You realize that you set the table? You set the table for me when I arrive. Twenty-eight people faithful every Sunday. Not every Sunday. I got 33 already. I'm almost to the first 35. I don't want you working every Sunday. That's the problem we've had. Same ushers, backsliding because they never sit in the service and don't get any food for their spiritual growth. Even though we send them a tape of the service, you all know there's nothing like sitting in the service.
Yes, sir.
How selfish can you be? What do you think? You're going to a theater where paid ushers are looking out for you? I mean, I thought I built an intelligent congregation, but it's obvious that most of you don't even turn your brain on. Well, God providing all this. 28 angels every Sunday sent down from glory to show me to my seat, and I resent the fact that they're telling me where to sit. Get on my side. Get on the telephone. Now, let me show you what I'm dealing with. Will you all listen to me for just a minute? If somebody's on the phone, tell them, just hold. Don't hang up. Just hold and listen. I face this all the time. This generation doesn't know how to listen. They listen evaluatively. They change what I'm saying into what they think I'm saying. I say what I mean and mean what I say. I think I said, if you've ever thought about being an usher, if you've ever been an usher, if you are an usher, I want your commitment tonight. Now, one of our most faithful people, he's always there. He's volunteering in the VTR room tonight. My wife went up to him and said, have you put your name in? Oh, no, I'm already committed. Now, you're looking at me like, well, what's the point I'm making? Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm already committed, so he already knows that. How would I know it when I got the first list of ushers tonight I ever saw in my life? And all I read was the number. I didn't read the names. I just went off when I found out that there were 10 or 13. They had to draft every Sunday after the service started. I went off. Well, I'm already an usher. You can't mean me. I mean you. I don't care if you've been committed for the last 29 years and you stagger to the usher's meeting. I don't care if you're the one that's in charge of the ushers. I want your name on this list.
Yes, sir.
Now, do I have to say it in some other language?
No, sir.
You, who stay, too. Every single person is an usher wants to be an usher. You're sick if you don't. Thinks about being an usher. Timid or bold. I want enough that I don't have to make you work every Sunday. You ought to look forward, boy, today is the Sunday. This is my Sunday of the month that I get to set the plate for God and the pastor and for this service. Where with you? I don't want drag-along Christians. I already told you many cowardly pussy Christians. I'm going to coin a new phrase, pussy prayer, praying. P.P. Pussy praying. Oh, God, please help me this week. Are you not learning anything about the boldness that I've been talking about? Become a citizen of this body. It brings privileges between you and God. Put God first. Then all the way home, just yell at Him. You said if I put you first, you'll put me where I should be. If I turn to you, you'll turn to me. Let everybody on the freeway think you're nuts talking to yourself while you yell at God all the way home. Okay, I put you first. Now where are you and your angels? Quit your like men. Quit this silly Christian nonsense. Following God like a bunch of beggarly rabble. If I die sick, I'll cuss God all the way to heaven. And if He throws me to the other place, I'll cuss all the way there. I care about God's Word. He says you put Him first, He'll turn to you. You look out for His house, He'll look out for yours. Now get on board. You say, well, isn't that kind of bargaining with God? Yeah, the same kind Moses and Jehoshaphat and Jacob did. You know, I've preached about Jacob, and I think the whole church world doesn't like this heel catcher. I like him better than most of the members of my church. Give me a whole church full that can wrestle an angel to a draw. At least everything he was doing was according to what God wanted. He just had to be brought to a point of a little more faith in God doing His part. And that's what I'm telling you. Faith claims what God has promised you, but you don't have any standing with God if you're not putting Him first. Now, do you understand? I don't want any more of this business. Well, I'm already an usher. Well, you ain't tonight until you get on this list.
Yes, sir.
You better get on the phone. You know, as an usher, you can sometimes be assigned to stand by the hall of the papyri or the room of the book or some other special station. There at 9:30, you've got the time to start memorizing what's in the station. Then you can be helpful to people that ask. What an honor. Shalom service. Do you even comprehend the honor of assisting me in handing out those sacred elements? Do you even comprehend? What does the applause mean when I say it's offering time? Do you even comprehend that you are like those that God designated from Babylon to carry the offering, the sacred offerings to Jerusalem? Are you just standing there, passing a bag around, or you understand that you are carrying the sacred, worshipful offerings to God? And you don't see that as an honor? Oh, I'd rather sit. You ought to get up with a song in your heart. Whatever happened this week, I represent God and the pastor and His Word, and I'm this is my Sunday to be an usher. You ought to hand out the pulpit. I'm an usher at the cathedral. You know, for those that have made the 12-hour commitments, by the way, I'm just really sick of the fact that whatever I happen to focus on, everybody else sits and watches and doesn't call. Well, he wants volunteers for ushering tonight, so I don't have to call and keep faith in the room. I don't have to check in and be a part of this festival. Thank God he's after something that doesn't involve me tonight. What's the matter with you? This is a battle of faith. Why are you not helping me? And I started to say, for those that have the 12 hours, I want to thank God. I wish you would start praising God with me. Everybody out there should call and tell the voice of faith, I want to praise God that Pastor found a real bitch to deal with the 12-hour commitments. Let me say that again. I pray. It ain't easy. She's a sweet lady. But thank God, if I say this, the devil's going to get on her back and she'll probably change. So I probably shouldn't say it. But thank God she took me literally when I said, you're going to be a bitch for my sake. You call up with your sad sack excuses, I can't keep my commitment this week. And she tells you, you want me to tell the pastor that? What do you want? You want a pastor that joins forces with the devil in encouraging you to give way to his roadblocks to your commitment?
No, sir.
The minute you make a commitment, it's like drawing a line in the sand. The devil assigns some of his troops to make sure you don't keep it. And you want the pastor and the one that he's assigned to stay on your case to sympathize with all your excuse-making? I pray she makes you feel like a cur dog. When are some of you going to say, thank you, miss, for representing the pastor properly? I wish I had your... I'm going to say it, balls. That ain't one of the seven words, is it? What do you call those heavy exercise balls? Huh? Huh? Yeah, I don't mean balloons and beach balls. I mean medicine balls. She's representing me. Thank her for balling you out.
Yes, sir.
So you're just making a sad sack excuse. Once you make a commitment, you keep it. That's my job. Oh, well, God love you. Maybe next week you can do it. We so much appreciate your commitment, even though you can't keep it. I'd puke through the phone on you. Now, I'm going to find myself another bitch to handle the ushers. So, along with the ushers tonight, maybe I can have a few women out there that will be the bitch organizer and schedulizer and excuse stuffer. You want to mean business?
Yes, sir.
You want to take pride?
Yes, sir.
You want to be the best that God got in Los Angeles? Well, then, get on the phone. I can't understand why more of you women are not applying. Just think, you can tell your husband where to sit. That's reason enough. Listen to this. She's in the studio tonight. I would be happy and proud to be an usher on Sunday. Home phone, cell phone. I have two small limitations. But if enough people volunteer, they won't be a problem. Nevertheless, one, I play competitive tennis, sometimes have tournaments on weekends. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if God heals her and she gets out of the wheelchair in the middle of one of those matches and beats the hell out of the competition before they figure out God healed her? I'm no problem with that. I'm not wanting everybody every Sunday. I want enough people that we're able to be sure we have 28 people every Sunday, but not the same 28 people. I use a wheelchair. Wonderful. You can lead the way for the other handicapped people to the elevator that's exclusively used to take handicapped people to the restroom. Any trouble? I don't even like the word handicapped. I treat everybody the same. A little envious sometimes. You get to sit down and I have to walk. Come on! Why don't I have some junior ushers? Get on the phone! Now, I'm at 57. 13 more and we'll have 70. Now, I would like to go to the table of the Lord before the next hour. We only got 22 minutes. So, where's the 13? I do have a couple of junior ushers. I had it pointed out they just weren't labeled that way, but we got them labeled now. I want 13 more. I want you ushers to make me proud of you, too. Dress up like you're going to visit the king. But you are. You're coming to the king's house to represent the King of Kings. So I want you to make me proud. Look like you're in business. Come on! Why isn't every phone busy? Melissa, can you go upstairs and talk to the people up there? I have to say, get on the phone. Why isn't every phone busy? Isn't enough queue for them? I've only got a few more minutes. I got 61. Need 9 more. So get on the telephone. I've got a few more minutes. I want to go to the table of the Lord. But I want the 70. You're on the phone. I don't know why you're not on the phone complaining about the music we're playing tonight. That's all I've been doing. All I'm getting is bluegrass. Can't anybody give me a good solid beat that somebody gets excited and wants to get up and move because of the beat? And then give me some man that sings like a woman. I'm going to get a couple of Jack Russells and make a recording of them barking. So they don't have to think about the music. Just play the Jack Russells barking. I mean, give me some help, folk. I'm fighting the staff. I'm fighting the director who's asleep. I'm fighting the music person. I'm fighting everybody that knows exactly what to do. Showing close-ups of the Bible collection when I don't even want you looking at the screen. I want you looking at the telephone and talking to me. Is it true or not, Greg? I've been yelling all week during this fight.
Yes, sir.
They've never been in a fight before.
Yes, sir.
My wife fixed six different tapes for them to play. I'm sitting here just fuming for 2 hours. And having to fight the director and the music director up there because you're asleep. Music person, have you been playing music that made you want to get out of your chair and move?
No, sir.
And dance? Give me a book, folks. The music I've been listening to tonight is an irritant.
Yes, sir.
Thumbs down. Makes nobody want to get up and move. Got a lot of nothing to do, got a lot of nothing to do. Got to do.
Yes,
Ray, that makes you want to clap your hands and move?
No, sir.
I mean, I'd get up and walk out of a bar that had music like that. Now quit acting like a bunch of airheads back there just filling space. Now, you want to get on the telephone? Tell me that isn't the same kind of music. We're going to find a song that makes you want to get up and makes you feel better at this time of day. But they're going to keep me from having a communion because of their stubborn imbecility. Will you get upstairs and kick some ass, Melissa? Now, you better find a better song. While they get on the telephone. That was a little better. Prince, at least you can move to his music. He does. This is not a regular festival. When I'm teaching, that's the focus. I don't care what you play as music. I don't really care. I'm teaching, giving you a break. I don't care what you play. You can play chopsticks. I don't care. But when we're in a war, you don't take a list of stuff you figured out on the day when you didn't even know we were going to be live and just punch the buttons and kill the spirit in here. Am I the only one that knows that most of this night has been dead in here? Because we're getting no help. I sat here and fumed as they showed Bible display after Bible display. What has that got to do with what we're doing tonight? I'm really easy. I just expect you to have a brain and flow with me and get in the battle instead of filling space. And I just had one of my employees that's off every Sunday. And I'll guarantee you there are people listening on shortwave, working at various locations who are volunteers tonight, or maybe a one-night volunteer that hasn't called in, and most of the time they're in the service on Sunday morning and they've not called in to be an usher. Just like a guy that I just very descriptively described his state. Have you volunteered as an usher? No, sir. Well, I can't tell you what I told him. Looking at me with his owl eyes. What did I do? Nothing. That's why you're in trouble. You know what I said to him? He's on staff. But he's one of the few that gets every Sunday off. You volunteer as an usher, you're fired. That's how serious I take this. You ought to take it that serious, too. Now get on the phone. Stop him. Can you believe this? And I just told them. They got Waylon Jennings back there. They got Elvis Presley back there. They've got Ray Charles back there. And I've already expressed to the world what I think of these men singing like a woman. And they gave me this. You know, I'm going to just sit here and put this festival on hold and sick all of you on the music person back there if they don't give me and follow some of the hints I'm giving them.
Yes, sir.
They've already killed the chance of going to the table of the Lord, so I have to extend live time into the next hour and cancel what was planned at 9 o'clock. All because the music person will not do their job.
Now, are they ready with a song that I can tolerate? We'll see, won't we? Put it up. Now I ask you, I'm looking around. For the first time in 2 hours and 6 minutes, I'm seeing people actually moving with the music. Any of the music for the last 2 hours made you feel like moving with it? What's complicated about... And long before I exploded in front of the world, I was exploding behind the scenes here. What's complicated? I mean, they got to be dead back there if they don't feel like this. This made people feel like moving, brought some life in the room. I'm going to risk another. Play the same song again. Just play the same song again. Now, maybe people, I can see people maybe going with the music to the phone. Ain't complicated, folks. I said, play it again. You know, we have resident demons that are assigned to this ministry all the time to bring people down. And, you know, I can identify them, the put-off demon. And then the demon that perches there and says, I'm already in trouble, so I might as well put it off some more. Maybe I'll escape. And then there's the most pronounced demon. You mess up a couple of times because you don't pay any attention. I can't do anything right, demon. Well, right, you aren't. So start doing something right. And look at the difference in this room. I mean, when we're in a battle, if you don't have an urge involuntarily, without having to manufacture it, if you don't have an involuntary urge to tap your feet, pat your feet, or clap your hands, you're playing the wrong music in a battle. I'm a musician. 13 years classical training. I happen to like classical music because it takes brains. It's like the opera. Well, what's the opera? You know, they sing funny. It takes brains. It takes knowledge. It's an acquired taste. I've always hated musicians who the minute that another musician comes in, they forget the rest of the audience and they start playing for the musician to show off. All musicians used to make fun of Lawrence Welk. But they have specials, like they had a special on KCET, a Ray Charles special. But maybe one of the most moving specials was a get-together of the Lawrence Welk family. A one, a two, a three, a four. They used to mock him. But he assembled musicians that played for people. I've always hated sax players. I want to show you how many different notes they can hit in a split second. Running up and down with her fingers, up and down the keys. Thank God I had a teacher that made me take the mouthpiece and the neck, just the mouthpiece and the neck, and spend 2 to 4 hours a day for almost 2 years just perfecting a tone. Anybody can blow a sax. Bill Clinton. But a sweet sax that can sound better than a violin is rare as hen's teeth. I don't play because I've lost my lip, and it takes the time to get that tone back. You don't lose the ability to move your fingers. Now, I get all excited. It's entertaining when I have the band do it. We're taking up the offering. You just really need to put your hands in your pocket and take the offering out and put it in the bag. Get all excited. Oh, it's really a sideshow to make Reggie stand up and pound on the piano. But it doesn't make you really want to start nodding your head with the music. I sent enough signals. I sent enough signals tonight for anybody to know. Before I went, before all of you, I was saying between the music, get out in the hall and see if you can dance to that. And then because they get their feelings hurt and get embarrassed, they hang me out to dry in front of the world, and what's worse, kill this festival. The music can make or break the festival in a war like this. Well, if they want to snivel around and feel sorry for themselves, they can't do anything right. They sure proved it tonight, so get their ass out of here. I'd rather have them gone than whining and feeling sorry for themselves because they didn't pay attention to what I said. This is a grown-up ministry. And the next song better be something you want to tap your feet to. We're not done yet. I got 69. I want one more. Now get on the phone. Well, I'll go to the table of the Lord in the next half hour. I have my 70. Now, you know what? You know what? In case you tuned in late, we're live. And I discovered we've been having trouble filling the usher quota of 28 people every Sunday. Same ones. I want 140 people that are committed to be ushers. Then we will schedule you, and you only have to be an usher. I hate to say it that way. You only get to be an usher once a month. And you ought to come and shine. But I got 70. That was the goal tonight. I tell you what, I don't care what they play now. They can play something weird. I don't care now. But in the midst of the battle, give me some life. But we've won the battle. Now I don't care what they play. I don't really care what they play. Play anything they want, weird or otherwise. Let's see what they do. But you guys get on the phone. Now, in case you tuned in late, I have 70 commitments. I only learned tonight that we've been having difficulty getting 28 ushers committed on Sunday morning and security people. Not anymore. I want 140 people that are committed to be available as ushers on Sunday morning. We'll call you and schedule you, and if I have that many people, then nobody's going to have to be ushering every Sunday. You'll be lucky to get one Sunday a month. And that's what we're doing. I can't see anybody. It's a King's House, certainly not a Philippian band. It can't be. Thank God I hear my wife dressing somebody down back there. That's making me happy for the moment. But you're supposed to be smart enough to close the door till I don't get distracted. We are going to the table of the Lord this half hour. And at 10 o'clock will be the regular teaching program. But there's still room. I got the first 70 and now I want another 70. Committed to be ushers on Sunday morning. When you are assigned, you show up at 9:30 for the usher's meeting. Dress up, and I can be proud of you. Carry your bathing suit in the car and change at a service station. But you dress up if you're going to be an usher. Okay? Now get on the telephone and give me some faith in this room. I'm going to play one more song, and then we're going to go to the table of the Lord. I could use, you know, I'd like to look at 71 instead of 70. There are people watching that probably have just tuned in and say, well, I'm already an usher. I want a recommitment tonight. If you've ever been one, if you think about being one, if you are one, you make a commitment tonight, put me on the usher list, and give me your phone numbers. Change my mind. I got two more. Got 72. Some people are just tuning in and waking up to what I'm saying to you. If you're already a committed usher, I want you on this list tonight so I can assemble enough that you don't have to commit every Sunday. We ought to have enough people committed that only one Sunday a month that you have the honor of being an usher and getting there at 9:30 and setting a table. So we're going to play one more song, and then I'll go to the table of the Lord. All right, everybody take your seat. We're going to the table of the Lord. For several weeks now, I've been encouraging you to do what Hebrews 4 says. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of unmerited favor. You don't have to deserve it. You come and take what God has provided. I've been here before, but I've been using illustrations of those that boldly reminded God of His Word and claimed the promise. Jehoshaphat's one of them, 2 Chronicles 20. We were here a few weeks ago. But I want to point out that in the 21st verse, He appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. Halal is the word. Spontaneous shining forth. As they went and before the army and to say, praise the Lord. As the King James puts it, they use praise twice in that verse. But the first praise is halal. The spontaneous bursting forth like the moon reflects the glory of the sun. The second praise is yada. With extended hands, speaking forth your praise and appreciation. Why? Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. That's an exact quote from the same source in Exodus where Moses had stood up to God, which I wrote on the board and quoted from Psalm 118 on Sunday. This became a rallying cry at various critical points in Israel's history, but usually preceded by somebody with the guts to remind God of His Word, not as though God needed to be told what His Word was. He has emotions. He gets fed up. But I think He wants to know that there are a few of us that will offer ourselves if necessary. rather than see him not keep his word. I know I like people that let me know that they trust me and know when I say something I'm going to do it. The prelude to this is exactly that forceful kind of praying I've been talking about. The 20th chapter starts, came to pass, the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed the fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out all of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And I've been telling you, I want this congregation to come together against the sickness that is plaguing the congregation since May. There came a great multitude. The circumstances were overpowering. And I have a deep and profound empathy, not just sympathy, empathy, for the messages I get, like the one who called tonight from Oklahoma. I'm in an intensive care unit in the hospital, no television, but tonight is the night I've committed to work, so I'm calling. I've been in intensive care, not pleasant. I've literally screamed at God, why do you allow your people? I mean, there's a lot made of don't go to law against a brother because the church is going to judge the world, so why demean yourself seeking justice from the world? I've literally screamed at God, why do you make your saints? He doesn't. He put it on Christ. But why do you allow your saints to demean themselves or be demeaned by being helplessly in the hands of these little arrogant demigods called doctors and nurses, to be humiliated? To be demeaned and humiliated at the hands of ungodly, hypocritical doctors who act like that money doesn't mean anything because they got a two-bit nurse that collects the money. I've said it before, the only difference between doctors and God is God doesn't think he's a doctor. We're saints of the Most High God. You shouldn't have to be demeaned like that. People taking your pulse, prodding around on you, invading your private parts, helping you go to the bathroom. I'm mad at God. Just like Jehoshaphat was. What do you say to God? I want you to get some gumption. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation in the house of the Lord and said, O Lord God of our fathers. That's in its face right there. Art thou not God in heaven? What are you, some cheap little tin god? You know better than these images and sticks and stones and gold that don't speak. Art not thou God in heaven? I'm asking God that tonight. Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen, including hospitals and nurses that go on strike even if you die? There's a lot of persecution that the church has to go through, but you can hold your head up high while they burn you at a stake. Don't make you helpless in their hands. Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? Over all the hospitals? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none, including germs and every other sickness, is able to withstand thee? I added that. Now, we're not just talking philosophically about the nature of God. Art not thou our God? And for yourself, art not thou my God? You reminded him of the promise he made to Abraham, thy friend forever. And didn't you say, verse 8, when evil cometh upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, that's sickness, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Affliction, sickness. Now behold, these come against us. We don't have any might. I'm summarizing, 12th verse. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against this great company. Neither know we what to do. Our eyes are upon thee. Then upon a prophet came the Spirit of the Lord. God didn't rebuke Jehoshaphat for throwing his word in his face. He said, you ain't going to do anything. This battle's mine. He responded to Jehoshaphat. You don't have to fight. Just march and praise Elal and Yada and sing. And God wiped the enemy out and took them 3 days to gather the spoil. I want this applied to these elements. Whatever Jehoshaphat could remind God of that was the God of his fathers, is he not the God of his son who made a covenant with his son and put my sickness and my sins on him? Yes. Yes. I've said it 1,000 times. But I'm just repeating and reminding God that I know what he said. Surely, verily, truly, absolutely, he picked up our sicknesses, carried our pains away. God put them on him. It's not just to leave them on me. Either it wasn't just to put them on Jesus, or it's not just to leave them on me. He put them on Jesus. Punished him for our health. And with his stripes, we were healed. Well, I said, if I die of sickness, I'm cussing all the way to heaven. The issue is not respecting God with some kind of timidity that doesn't assert his word. I'm willing for God to kill me any other way he wants to kill me, and instantly and immediately. But don't sneer, as God will not be sneered at. Don't sneer at yourself and your son. Kill me anyway. Not because I'm a sinner. You put that on Jesus. Not with sickness. You put that on Jesus. And to my dying breath, I will say, he bore my sickness, and take this bread and remember him, which Jesus told me to do. And say it in God's face. because of love and respect for the honor and integrity that he seeks to bring forth from us. He's the Amen God. He already said, so be it. With his stripes, I was healed. Made worthy by the blood of the Lamb.